بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق، ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد. ونفخ في الصور، ذلك يوم الوعيد. وجاءت كل نفس معها سائق وشهيد. لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك، لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد. Refresh your souls and sweeten your mouths with a blessed salawat for Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Death is an ultimate journey that we all have to endure and experience sooner or later. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything is perishing in this life, except the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كل نفس دائقة الموت. Each and every soul has to taste death and reaches death. And in fact, we have no other choice in order for us to reach the real living, the hereafter, which is the permanent living. We have to go through death. We are trapped in this life, brothers and sisters. This is not our life. This is not the real life. This is not the permanent abode. This is a transient life, ephemeral life. This is temporal life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Indeed, the hereafter is the everlasting and real and permanent life, not this one. Al-hayawan here means the permanent and the real. Therefore, this is not the real. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, فَفِيهَا اخْتُبِرْتُمْ وَلِغَيْرِهَا خُلِقْتُمْ. You have not been created to live in this life, in this lower life. You have been created, and the intention was from the first day, to live in the hereafter. Here is just a transit lounge. Maybe you go to the airport sometimes and you watch hundreds of thousands of passengers, they go through the transit lounge. Some of them are arriving, some of them are departing. This is a small life. This is our world, where hundreds of millions of people arrive, probably every day, and at the same time, while some people are arriving, millions of others are leaving this life. So we are trapped here, and we have to leave this one. In order for us to reach the real one, we have to find a way to leave this life. And that way is called death. Imagine yourself traveling to a remote island, vacationing in the sun. Small island. And while you were vacationing there, suddenly the volcano there erupts and sends its lava very high. And then you are trapped and you want to leave. But you are stranded. There is no airport. There are no airplanes. There is no vessels taking you out of that island. And your food is over. The lava is approaching you, closing on you. And you have to leave. In order for you to survive, you have to leave that island. And the only means of escape from that island is a very small, tiny, little, dark, narrow submarine. And you are afraid of that submarine because it submerges under the ocean. But that is the only way for you to leave. You might not like it, but you have to do that. This is death for us. Death is a very terrifying experience. It's very agonizing and painful experience. But in order for us to release ourselves of this captivity, of this lower life, we have to go through the process of death. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهًا. No one can stay here. This is not our place. We have to move into the real life, the permanent life. Now, Muslim philosophers, when it comes to death, listen to the definition of death in Islam. Muslim philosophers contend that death is a transferal. The transferal from one form of existence into another one. This is the meaning of death. Death, therefore, is not the end of the journey. You are transferring from one place into the other. Listen to the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا ثُمَّ أَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. The Holy Quran provides details of our journey in this life. The journey that all of us have to embark. And we already embarked. We are in the second stage of it now. The Holy Quran says that our journey in life has five phases and stages. Overall, has five stages. One, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا. How can you be ungrateful to your Lord? You do not remember where you were and where you ended today. You had five stages. Kuntum amwatan, the state of non-existence, number one. Kuntum amwatan. Fa'ahyakum, He gave you life. This lower life, al-hayatu dunya, ephemeral life. Thumma yumitukum, He will cause you to die. And then, ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ, you will be resurrected and you will be going through what we call عَالَمُ الْبَرْزَخِ, purgatory life. عَالَمُ الْبَرْزَخِ. And then at the end, ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, you will going to go to the final destination and final abode. ثم إليه ترجعون. Resurrection. Five stages. Number one, non-existence. Non-existence does not mean absolute death. We were in the state of non-existence, number one. But it was not the absolute death. Why it is not the absolute death? Because we were able to make a covenant with Allah when we were still spirits. We made a covenant with Allah. So it was not an absolute non-existence. So we had the engine, but we did not have the body. So-called the fuselage. We didn't have it. Then we came into existence. فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. And this is how we are living now. This is the second stage. Again, this one is not the real, an absolute life. This is not an absolute life. Since the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet states, النَّاسُ نِيَامٌ إِذَا مَا تُنْتَبَهُ. You are not living right now. This is not your real abode. This is not the real life. You are still asleep in the state of coma. Once you die, you will wake up. So this is not an absolute life. Then, ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ. You're going to die again. Again, the third stage is not an absolute death. When we're going to die, that is not an absolute non-existence or death. Since the dying person during death and after death is going to experience things, he's going to hear, he can communicate, although not with the body, but with his own soul. And if you search the Quran and the tradition of our Imams and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will see an abundance of references to the life after death, to the specific subject of being able to understand and communicate and realize when we die. So death is not the end of journey, brothers and sisters. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الْمَيِّتَ لَيَسْمَعُ خَفْقَ النَّعَالِ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. Indeed, the dying person, when he is buried, he or she can hear the tapping of the sandals. When people walk on his grave, he can hear that. He can hear it. He has the power to hear. إِنَّ الْمَيِّتَ لَيَسْمَعُ خَفْقَ النَّعَالِ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. Such a sharp hearing. After the end of the battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was strolling among the dead ones of Quraysh, the pagans. So he was walking, looking to the right and the left, and he was talking to them and calling upon them. Ya Hada, Ya Fulan, Ya Utbah, Ya Shaybah, Ya Walid. His disciples came to him. They said, Ya Rasulullah, atukallimu ajsadan mayyita? Are you speaking to the dead? He said, Wallahi ma antum biasma'a minhum. Walau udhina lahum laajabu. By Allah, your hearing is not more powerful than them. If God gives them permission, they will answer, yes, we do hear. He was talking to them. We think they are dead. But the Prophet knows how to communicate with them. Brothers and sisters, death is not the end of the journey. I wish it was. Why we are scared of death? Because we know that we can understand and we can realize and we can feel. Otherwise, if it is just complete death, then why should we be scared of grave and the darkness of the grave? But because we still realize and understand, we have to be prepared for that moment. أبكي لخروج روحي. Imam Zain al-Abidin, when the month of Ramadan comes, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to make some time to recite dua. Abi Hamzat al-Thamali, his name is Thabit ibn Dinar, one of the closest disciples of about five or six imams. He was with five or six imams. ثابت بن دينار أبو حمزة الثمالي. Read his dua. Beautiful. Beautiful communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أبكي لخروج روحي. أبكي لضيق قبري. أبكي لسؤال منكر ونكير إياي. I cry in dread of the darkness and the tightness and the narrowness of my grave, of the narrow walls of my grave, of the interrogation of Munkar and Nakir. We have to be prepared for that moment. This is not a story here. This is what we're going to face and see and feel sooner or later. There is no escape. And there is no exception whatsoever. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam in Nahj al-Balagha, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, states, وَلَوْ أَنَّكُمْ عَايَنْتُمْ مَا قَدْ عَايَنَ مَنْ مَاتَ مِنْكُمْ لَجَزِعْتُمْ وَوَهَلْتُمْ وَسَمِعْتُمْ وَأَطَعْتُمْ وَلَكِنْ مَحْجُوبٌ عَنْكُمْ مَا قَدْ عَايَنُوا وَقَرِيبًا مَا يَسْقُطُ الْحِجَابُ. If you just can experience what those who died before you a few days ago are experiencing now and are seeing now, you would have been puzzled and shocked, and you would have been listening and obeying. وَلَسَمِعْتُمْ وَأَطَعْتُمْ وَلَكِنْ مَحْجُوبٌ عَنْكُمْ. You cannot see now. Your eyes cannot see. At this moment, it has been curtained off from what those people have been seeing and experiencing. But soon and imminent, you're going to see what they are seeing. وَقَرِيبًا مَا يَسْقُطُ الْحِجَابُ. What is death? What do we see? What do we experience? The first thing that the Quran speaks about is وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. This is the first thing we are going to confront and see. Sakratul maut, the stupor of death. The intoxication, sakra, intoxication, a state of suspended sensibility. State of coma. Because of the shock. The dying person, the first challenge is going to face is that he or she would not be able to talk. The tongue is going to be locked completely. He tries to cry. He tries to shout. He tries to tell people around him, I'm in pain, help me. But he can't. Have you seen yourself sometimes during some of the dreams that you see? Dreadful dreams? When some of you eat too much in the evening, at night, what happens at night? You're going to see bad dreams. So don't eat too much, please. So as a result of that, some people, they see nightmares. They see someone is chasing them, a robber, a thief, or for instance, a lion, a dog, and they are running, and the animal is running after them. So they try to shout and cry. Has it ever happened to you? Yes? Do you remember this? Yes, this gentleman says me. And I know many of you. And you try to shout, but your voice does not come out. You lose your voice. You try to shout in the dream, and suddenly your wife says to you, what's wrong with you? And you wake up, you say, Alhamdulillah, I'm still at home in bed. You lose your voice. This is what is going to happen to us at the moment of death. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. إِنَّ الْمَيِّتَ لَيَنْعَقِدُ لِسَانَهُ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ. His tongue is going to be locked. Not that he does not understand. He feels, he understands. But he cannot express himself. So, we cannot react. We become incapacitated completely and disabled. And this is the very first thing we're going to experience. Sakratul Mawti Bilhaq. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam states, Inna ashadda as-sa'ati ala ibn Adam thalath. The most distressful and the most agonizing and painful and dreadful moments that any human being can ever experience throughout his or her life are three. Three times. One, as-sa'atu allati yushahidu fiha malak al-maut. You have not seen anything. If you think you have been through so much pain and misery, you have not seen anything yet. It has to come. The moment you're going to look at the angel of death. The most agonizing. One day, the angel of death was visiting Sulaiman. He used to pay visits, you know, to prophets of Allah and chat with them. And so one day he was visiting Sulaiman in Palestine, in his house. He saw a man sitting next to Sulaiman, the angel of death. He was embodied in the shape of a human being. So when he entered, he saw a man sitting next to Sulaiman alayhi salam. So he started gazing at him angrily. The man was shocked. He knew this is the angel of death. And he's not kidding with him, you know. He's serious. So angel of death sat there for a while and then he left. He left. Immediately when he left, the man turned to Sulaiman alayhi salam and he said, Ya Nabi Allah, please, I want you to leave this place immediately. The angel of death is in this vicinity. And I want to go somewhere far away. I want to go to Africa. So please, can you give me the flying carpet that you have? Sulaiman, Allah subjugated the wind for him so he could move from one place to another. And if the Wright brothers, they can invent an airplane, it would not be difficult for Allah to invent a flying carpet for Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah is the creator of the heaven and the earth. So Sulaiman gave him the flying carpet to this man and it took him to Africa. The following day again, the angel of death came to visit Sulaiman. Sulaiman said to him, Ya Malak al-Maut, by the way, what happened yesterday? You were gazing at this man. What's wrong with him? Sulaiman said, Ya Nabi Allah, this man, he was scheduled on my list that I have to go to Africa and take away his life from him, his soul in Africa. So when I saw him with you here in Palestine, I was shocked. What the heck this man is doing here? He's supposed to be in Africa. Subhanallah. The man went to Africa to meet his destiny with the angel of death there in Africa. And indeed, Malakul Maut was there. أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. Death is after us. Even if we hide in a formidable, well-guarded fortress and castle, the angel of death can penetrate that place and comes after us. So it's very painful, it's very agonizing. The moment you look at the angel of death, إِذَا وُضِعَ الْمَيِّتُ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ الْغَاسِلِ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم states, صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. كلم الغاسل بكلام لو سمعه ما غسل ميتا بعده أبدا. If the person who washes and shrouds the dead, if he has the opportunity to listen to what this person is telling him, he would quit his job. He would never wash any person anymore. He will tell him, رِفْقًا بِي أَيُّهَا الْغَاسِلِ, or the person that is performing the ghusl and shrouding, ghusl and kafan for me, please, رِفْقًا بِي, be nice to me, be kind to me. فَوَاللَّهِ ما خرجت الروح من عضو من أعضاء بدني إلا وانفصل ذلك العضو مني. By Allah, I tell you, at the time of death, when my soul was departing and leaving my body, whenever the soul would depart and exit any body part, the pain of that would be as if that part was being decapitated and separated from my body. So no more pain, please. No more pain. Be nice to me. Be merciful to me. This is what we're going to experience, brothers and sisters. Even the believers, huh? Because al-hadith al-qudsi, the divine narration states, Allah states, that if I decided to forgive someone who's guilty, who commits sins, but I decided to forgive him, pardon him, and admit him into my paradise on the day of judgment, I have to settle the account with him in this life. So I will afflict him sometimes with sickness, sometimes with poverty, sometimes with the loss of a friend and relative. And if he escape all these, I will catch him at the moment of death. I will make the moment of death so agonizing for him. So when he dies pure and immaculate. His sins are erased completely. Then I can forgive him and admit him into my paradise. كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِيَ وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقٍ Surah Al-Qiyamah. You have to read the Quran. Make some time for you every morning after the Fajr prayers. Sit by yourself, open this book, open any page, any chapter, read some of these verses with some reflection. Surah Al-Qiyamah. Kalla idha balaghati at-taraqiya wa qila man raq. Wa dhanna annahu al-firaq wal taffati as-saq bis-saq ila rabbika yawma idhin al-masaq. On that moment, when the soul reaches the collarbone, the voice cord here, كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِ This is the place of exit. This is the final station for the soul. This is why sometimes at the moment of death, if you are present, you hear the gargle. The gargle, only the gargle, because he cannot speak. The soul is leaving the area here. كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِ وَقِيلَ مَرَّاقِ The family, the friends, the close friends, who are gathered around the dead one, the dying person, are going to wonder, who's going to help? Can we find a doctor for him? وَقِيلَ مَرَّاقِ وَظَنَّ ظَنَّ here means that undoubtedly, the person he knows for sure that he's departing, he's leaving. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقِ وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقِ Because of the restlessness and the pain that he is enduring, he is going to push one leg and pull the other. Pushing and pulling. Legs are going to join each other because of the pain, the dreadful pain. وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقِ Where he is heading? إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقِ Some people run away from God. In this life, some people, they do not like to face the Qibla. They do not like to pray. They do not recognize God. They don't want to hear about Him. But at the end, all people have to go back. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ O man, you are laboring laboriously in this life. Until you are going to meet with your Lord. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي If someone runs away from God for 60 or 70 or 90 years, at the end, can he run anymore? Can he hide anymore? إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقِ فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى We have to be prepared, brothers and sisters. But, some good news for you. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states very promising news. من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة Whoever can say, has the ability to utter this sentence with his tongue, in his heart, in his mind, La ilaha illallah, then he will be granted paradise. Allah is so merciful. But brothers and sisters, some people cannot say it. They would not be able to say that. This is why it's very strongly recommended in Islam. If you are present at someone's death, someone is dying and you are sitting there, you have to remind him or her of God's mercy, God's blessing and forgiveness to overcome the agony and the fear of death, to treat him as a forerunner. He is going before us and we're going to join him soon. Try to do dictation to him, talqeen. We have two types of dictations, talqeen. One before death and one before burial. The one before death, those relatives who are sitting next to the dying person has to teach him and dictate to him to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the one before burial also we have to remind him, because he is going soon after burial, immediately. He is going to be interrogated by Munkar wa Nakir. Munkar wa Nakir for the sinner and Mubashirun wa Bashir for the believer. He is going to be questioned and interrogated. So you have to remind the person of what he has to answer, what he is supposed to say. This is talqeen, strongly recommended. One day, a man comes to Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi wa salatu wa salam, and he says to him, Ya ibn Rasulullah, my brother is suffering for 3 days, the ihtibar. Ihtibar is the death struggle, the agony of death. And there is another name for that. There is sakratul maut, there is ihtibar. And there is naz'. Naz' is to extract, to pull out. Malakul Maut is going to pull out the soul from the body. So he's suffering, Ibn Rasulullah, for 3 days, and he doesn't die. The Imam, alayhi salam, directs him to go, to take him, put him in his musalla, where he used to pray on that place. And then someone sit next to his head and recite Surah Yasin and Surah As-Safat, chapter 36 and chapter 37 of the Quran. This will facilitate death for him and ease the process of death for him. Surah Yasin and Surah As-Safat. I know many of you would say it. Please stop it. I'm still young. I'm going to college. I want to get married. And I hope, inshallah, all of you will fulfill your wishes and your goodly desires, inshallah. All of you are going to graduate and get married and have children and become fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers. But death, brothers and sisters, has no warning. And you yourself can testify to this fact. When I go to the cemetery to conduct Salat al-Janaza, sometimes I read the names and the ages on the graves, gravestones. I read some of them, and I read the date of birth. People who were born in the 80s and 90s, very young, at the age of 15, 16, 17. Nobody would expect, nobody would dream one day that this man, this woman will die. But it happens. And the lucky one is the one who is well prepared. If we are prepared, we have no fear. Whether it comes at the age of 20 or 30 or 50 or 70. If we are prepared for that, let's be prepared. I don't want to scare you, but this is a reality. We have to go through that. Imagine yourself going for a vacation, for the first time, and someone is sitting next to you, a friend, is telling you about the procedure, how to get the visa, how to apply for the passport, how to buy the airfare, the air ticket. Someone has to tell you. We are going to go through this. And if you are well prepared, you should not fear. مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهِ. If you love to meet with your Lord, then also your Lord is waiting for you. Allah will show His mercy at the time of ihtidhar and death. Allah is going to show His mercy, His blessing, His grace to the dying person, to the extent that the dying person wishes to leave immediately. Allah will show him his place in paradise. And this is what the Quran testifies in Surah Al-Fajr. Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna turji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. Well pleased and well pleasing. Allah is pleased with you and you are pleasing your Lord. Radiyatan mardiyah. Fadkhuli fi ibadi. Wadkhuli jannati. Some of the people who were waiting for death and wishing death because they know the meaning of death. Death is not annihilation. Death is a transfer from this lower world onto the much higher and permanent abode where our Anbiya, our prophets, Imam Ali, والله لا أبالي إن وقع علي الموت أو وقعت على الموت والله إن ابن أبي طالب لا يبالي أوقع الموت عليه أم وقع على الموت. I don't care whether it comes to me or I go to death. I welcome death. والله إن ابن أبي طالب لآنس بالموت من الطفل في ثدي أمه. I'm craving and yearning to death even more than the baby who yearns to his mother's breast to drink and to eat. This is Imam Ali alayhi salam. And the same thing with Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein, when he was in Mecca, he delivered this sermon in Mecca. What did he say, Imam Hussein? خُطَّ الْمَوْتُ عَلَى وَلْدِ آدَمَ مَخَطَّ الْقِلَادَةِ عَلَى جِيدِ الْفَتَاتِ. Death has been decreed on the son of Adam, encircles the son of Adam, just like the necklace, when the necklace encircles the girl's neck. على جيد الفتاة. وما أولهني. I am longing إلى أسلافي, to my forefathers. اشتياق يعقوب إلى يوسف. In the same way that Yaqub was counting the days and the hours to find his son, his beloved son Yusuf, until he found him. I am the same here. I am longing for death, wallahi. I am longing to see Rasulullah and Fatima al-Zahra. I have no fear about death. I know when I die, the first one who is going to receive me is my grandfather Rasulullah, my father Amir al-Mu'mineen. I know my mother, Fatima, she misses me, and she's waiting for me. She's waiting to receive me. So I'm going to have a reunion with my family. I'm not going somewhere far. I'm going to go back to my family. وَمَا أَوْلَهَنِي إِلَىٰ أَسْلَافِي إِشْتِيَاقَ يَعْقُوبَ إِلَىٰ يُوسُفَ. And I can tell you people about the spot and the place and the territory that I am going to be martyred on it. وَخُيِّرَ لِي مَصْرَعٌ. I'm not forced. Nobody is imposing this on me. I have chosen it with my own free will. وَخُيِّرَ لِي مَصْرَعٌ أَنَا لَاقِيهِ كَأَنِّي بِأَوْصَالِي تُقَطْعُهَا عُسْلَانُ الْفَلَوَاتِ بَيْنَ النَّوَاوِيسِ وَكَرْبَلَى. Imam Hussein was yearning for death, for martyrdom. He knew. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was in the city of Mecca. He left Medina with his family members, with his companions. He went to Mecca. He stayed in Mecca for almost 4 months, 120 days. While he was in Mecca, he received hundreds of letters and delegates from Iraq inviting him to come and joining them and leading the movement against the unjust rule of Bani Umayyah, the tyrannical rule of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. So Imam Hussein responded to them. And under the threat of assassination during the season of Hajj, in the year 60 Hijri, Bani Umayyah sent some people to assassinate Imam Hussein, and they mingled with the pilgrims, with the Hujjaj, infiltrated the Hajj season, and they were ordered to assassinate Imam Hussein while he's in the middle of the crowd. So Imam Hussein knew about this plan. Imam Hussein decided to leave Mecca during the peak time of Hajj, on the 8th day of the Hijjah. All the Hujjaj are leaving Mecca to Mina. Imam Hussein, with his caravan, with his family members, he departed Mecca on that day, the 8th of the Hijjah, going to Kufa. The distance between Mecca and Kufa is 1,470 kilometers. The Imam was journeying for about 23 days at a rate of 64 kilometers per day. It took Imam 23 days to reach the territory of Iraq. Imam passed it through mountains, deserts, plains, 38 resting stations and village until he reached the territory of Iraq. By the time he reached Iraq, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, the governor of Bani Umayyah in the city of Kufa, had already dispatched Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, one of the heroes of the Arabs, with 1,000 soldiers to intercept Imam Hussein and prevent him from making it to the city of Kufa. So Imam Hussein was intercepted by Al-Hur. Al-Hur said to him, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I have the order not to let you make it to Kufa. After long deliberation and discussion between Imam Hussein and the Hur, finally the Hur said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, Ana akrahu qitalak. O the son of the Prophet, I really hate to fight with you. I respect you. I know you. I know your parents. I know your family. And ultimately I want to join you. But here I cannot do anything. And I don't want to fight with you. فَخُفْ طَرِيقًا نَصَفًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهِ لَعَلِّي أَكْتُبُ إِلَى الْأَمِيرِ ابْنِ زِيَادْ لَعَلَّ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلُ لِيَ الْعَافِيَةَ مِنْ أَمْرِي. So please, Ya Aba Abdullah, let's compromise here. Let's take a middle road here. You would not go to the city of Kufa. Go into another direction. I might report back to my governor. Maybe Allah ultimately will grant me success and felicity at the end. Hur here was contemplating for the future. I mentioned this the other night. Switching from being faithless into being faithful does not come overnight. Some people contemplate on that for 10 years, 20 years. And this is just what Hur was doing. And eventually Hur made it, alhamdulillah. And we will speak about him. So here, Imam Hussein alayhi salam turns to his ashab. قال يا أصحابي من يعرف منكم الطريق على غير الجادة. Who can tell us, who is familiar with this land and can lead us through a different route which does not lead to Kufa? One of them by the name of At-Tarimmah. At-Tarimmah came. He said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, Ana A'rifu At-Tariq. At-Tarimmah was a camel driver, cameleer. So he said to the Imam, I am familiar with this territory. And I can lead you, Ibn Rasulullah. So the Imam said to him, Ya At-Tarimmah, you walk in the front and we are going to follow you. Usually, the cameleer, they chant, they have some songs, Bedouin songs. they chant in order for them to give enthusiasm to the camels, to the caravan, to the members of the caravan. And this is what the Tirmah was doing. Ya naqati la tad'uri min zajri wa shammri qabla tulu' al-fajri. Ya naqati la tad'uri min zajri wa shammri قبل طلوع الفجر بخير ركبانين وخير سفر آل رسول الله آل الفخر السادة البيض الوجوه الزهري حتى تحلي بكريم النجر يا مالك النفع معايا والضر امدد امدد حسينا سيدي بالنصر. While the caravan was journeying, suddenly the horse of Imam Hussein came to a complete halt, would not move anymore. Imam knew the story. Imam is well prepared for this. Imam knows every incident and every event. But Imam wanted the rest of the people to know. And when the horse would not move anymore, the Imam asks Ashabahu, his companion, Ashabi, ما اسمه هذه الأرض? What is the name of this territory, this land? They answer him, يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ تُسَمَّى نَيْنَوَى. The name is Nainawa. Does it have another name, يَا أَصْحَابِي? Yes, يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. It is شَاطُ الْفُرَات, the banks of the Euphrates. Does it have another name? Yes, تُسَمَّى الْغَاضِرِيَات. Another name? Finally they said, yes, يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ تُسَمَّى كَرْبَلَى. فَقَالَ الْحُسَيْنِ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَلْجَأُ إِلَيْكَ أُلُوذُ بِكْ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْكَرْبِ وَالْبَلَىٰ. Oh my Lord, I seek refuge in you from affliction and tribulation. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكرب والبلاء. ثم التفت إلى أصحابه قال أصحابي أنزلوا ها هنا محط خيامنا, ها هنا محط رحالنا, ها هنا تقتل رجالنا, ها هنا تذبح أطفالنا, ها هنا تسبى نساؤنا. Oh my companions, here where we settle in this land, this is our camp here in Karbala. This is where our men are going to be slain. Our children are going to be slaughtered. Our women are going to be captives, taken captives on the day of Ashura. On that day, they landed in that land. But the hearts of the women of Bani Hashim, Al-Hashimiyat, was composed and calm. Because they were flanked by Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Al-Abbas, Al-Qasim, Ali ibn al-Akbar, the men, the youth were surrounding them, protecting them. They gave them sense of serenity and security. But the brothers and sisters, la ilaha illallah, on the day of Al-Hadi Ashar, the 11th of Muharram, when they wanted to take the women and the children alone without men, التفتت زينب يمينا ويسارا. هذه نساؤك من يكون إذا سرت بالأمس سائقها ومن حاديها أيسوقها زجر بضرب متونها والشمر يحدوها بسب أبيها عجبا لها بالأمس أن تتصونها واليوم آل أمية تبديها أنا بقيت محيرة واصفج باليدين ولا عباس يبرالي ولا حسين يضربوني منبجي وتدمع العين وتبقى عبرة بقلب التكسر. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم.
Just raise your hand for prayers and we will be followed by Brother Hajj Osama inshallah.
نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل الدين. اللهم أيد علماءنا العاملين جميعا. اللهم احفظهم بحفظك وأيدهم بتأييدك. سيدنا ومولانا الإمام السيد آية الله السيد علي السيستاني، اللهم احفظه بحفظك وجميع العاملين وجميع المجتهدين وجميع العلماء وكل من خدم الدين وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات. ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.